Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
Just start the fucking sorry.
Can we start with that noise? Can we please just kind of start with that noise?
Sure, honestly, heck yeah. Start the show, please.
Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. I'm Matthew Olenchuk, recently outside of the time warp that just came out of my wonderful work husband's mouth, Harrison Poole. How are you?
I'm doing great, hon. How are you?
You know, I'm living.
Living, laughing, loving?
Living, laughing, loving. Always am.
Hell yeah, dude. Love
having
to hear
a great time. Not going mad because of the terrors of the sea.
This week was Robert Eggers' 2019 film, The Lighthouse. I saw this movie in theaters the finals week when I was graduating college. I have not seen it for another half decade. And then you brought up that you had the Blu-ray and
never saw the movie.
Never saw the movie. And I'm like, fuck yeah, you just gave me the movie this week. Thank you so much.
And man, what a great comedy.
True. Okay. Did you know? I know we've been doing this bit the entire time, but I want to live in a world where Willem Dafoe didn't know that they were making a movie, and he just thought Robert Pattinson was coming to, like, interview him.
I mean, I'm living in that world right now. You can come join me anytime. But no, what a great, like, it's really, like, besides the premise, which I dislike, which is being near water and boats, like, the only other issue I had with this movie, because I'm going to get the issues out of the way, because I only have two. One of them being that we should sink every boat that exists. Okay. It's my hot take. And we should just forget we ever made them. We should forget the technology of nautical travel. I hate boats. The second thing is, I could go, like, 5 years without fucking a woman. And I would not experience it like the lunacy these men do.
Well, we can imagine that it has been at least that long for Willem Dafoe. I mean, not in real life, because, yeah, like,
huge hog.
I
think he's married.
Well, not even. Well, yeah, they went to his house. This one's just.
So, like, Robert Pattinson's characters, they're like probably at most 6 months. At most. And, like, that's not even a good estimate. It's probably, like, a month or two. And, like, he goes absolutely batshit insane because he's not fucking a woman.
It's 4 weeks, plus however long the storm lasts.
Yeah, 2-3 months total, maybe?
Yeah.
At most? Absolutely batshit insane.
And we're assuming that he fucked before, like, immediately, like, the night before he left.
Yeah,
the
I think
lighthouse.
He got one out, yeah.
Okay.
You got one in before you left. I mean, you have to. And you go crazy after, like it's not even, like, before his thing's up. It's like, we're 2 weeks in, and he's fucking, like, trying to fuck, like, dream mermaids.
Yeah, okay. We'll get to that, I think. It's probably in my notes, by the way.
I mean, it's, like, half the movie. It has to be in your notes.
By the way, fucking 9.5 pages, in case you were keeping tabs.
Yeah, there's definitely some dream mermaids in there.
Oh, absolutely. I like this movie. It was pretty good.
It's like if, like, German expressionist surreal movies decided to make a comedy and a commentary on, like, dating app culture.
You think that that's what he's trying to talk about,
yeah,
in this movie?
I think he's saying that men need to think about pussy a little less
and just be open and vulnerable with your dudes. Not necessarily sexual, but,
yeah,
like,
not
open
even,
and vulnerable.
Not even like a boat. Because, like, we start off in this movie and he's not even, like, it's not even like being emotionally open to this guy. He's just, like, completely, like, he's like, oh, let's talk. And he's like, no.
I mean,
this movie, I know there's a lot of ideas, like, what's real, what's not. I fully am in the camp that most of this is just Robert Pattinson's head, because, like, he was never a sympathetic character to me in this movie.
No.
The first dinner scene, he's just like unreasonably an asshole.
I mean, yeah, I don't know if it's an, I mean, yeah, it's standoffish for sure.
Yeah, for like no reason.
Fair.
Like no reason. It's his first day and he's like, fuck you.
The man's a little mopey that he has to spend 4 weeks.
Well, you know what?
Okay, he was trying to run away from his past.
He's mopey. Oh god, I fucking took a trip to West Virginia and I'm upset about it. I chose to drove here and now I'm so mopey I'm not gonna talk over dinner.
Okay. So do you wanna
like the only thing he does right in this movie is imagine a hot mermaid.
Okay, we will get to the mermaid.
Okay.
Do we want to go through my notes or do you have any more like quick thoughts?
Nah, it's all my quick thoughts really. Villain. He's the villain. Mermaid's hot. Good eyebrows. William Dafoe is the tragic victim of all of this.
Okay.
That's my quick thoughts.
Okay, nice. So we start off with a black screen for a long ass time. Like, quite frankly, just a little too long, just enough to make you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that,
well, it's getting you in the headspace for seeing a boat.
Oh, 1,000%. Well, okay, the movie, not necessarily just a boat, but that is basically the first shot. It's pretty early on. Because I think, yeah, it's a foggy night, and then the foghorn blows, and then it's cut to the boat. They land on this island.
Scariest part of the movie.
That, oh my god. Is this going to be the entire episode?
Anytime we mention boats, probably.
Okay. So do you want me to talk around them?
No, it's like I can face my trauma. My trauma just being that I hate boats.
So these two dudes are unloading supplies onto an island. It's kind of like a changing of the guard situation where, like, I think that's kind of what I... Because these two dudes are, like, walking off the lighthouse as Dafoe and Pattinson are walking on. So, yeah, it's like a changing of the guard situation. And... Pattinson is like taking a little self tour of the place. Dafoe seems to already know the place. So, okay.
I think Dafoe's there the whole time. I think he's the keeper.
But there were two people who walked off in the beginning, right?
I think they had just dropped off supplies and they're going back to their boat.
So, okay. So it was two people with Pattinson and then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because no one sees the light but him.
Okay, anyway, so Pattinson is doing a tour, and he finds a mermaid figure in a hole in the bed.
Yeah.
Which is...
It's where I keep my mermaid figures. It's weird, because I have, like, a memory foam mattress, so I have to, like, hollow it out, but...
Okay.
All my little mermaid figurines. And he, like, immediately, like, pockets it.
Yeah.
Which is, he's like, oh, yeah, this is some good shit I just found.
And then he starts the day with some kind of chores where he's like loading coal into the, I wrote chimney, but then the next time I wrote furnace, I'm pretty sure it's a furnace.
Yeah, it powers the horn.
The steam engine, as you will. He's like loading coal into the steam engine and then they sit down and have the meal, where Pattinson is being
like way too much of a dick.
He's just aloof.
That's not aloof, that's being a dick. And the guy's like, hey, let's talk. He's like, no,
I don't want to. I ain't much for words. You've never not wanted to talk to someone?
Never. Literally, I've never been in a situation where someone said, hey, let's talk. And I said, no. I've been in situations where they said, hey, can you not talk?
Fair.
Funerals, weddings.
Okay. So Dafoe essentially like lays down. Well, first he does this little sailor's toast that comes up a couple more times.
Yeah.
And then like he lays down the groundwork of essentially like, this is what your job's going to be, boy. Yeah. Do your job, boy, and I'll pay you.
Yeah. Robert Pattinson's like, I don't like being told to do my job.
I mean,
like first day, like sure later on his grievances have a bit more weight, but like it's really is this day one where this guy tells him to do his job, what he has to do for his job, and he's like, I don't like this. I don't like that I'm being told I have duties at this job I signed up for.
So the next day, Pattinson just like does his job, you know, just is a dude at work, a man at work.
Yeah, really, really just man at work energy.
Yeah. He's loading coal again. There's a loud blast. He's reading the lighthouse rules, which in my head is just the script. But they just used like a
fancy cover,
as a prop.
He, little fucking nerd. Yeah, because, like, during the toast, he's like, let's drink. Let's have a little toast. He's like, it says in the book. It says in the book that we can't drink. Oh.
Yeah. Aww. And Defoe's like, you'll do as I say, boy. And he has a compromise.
Like, if your boss, like, it's like, oh, the rules say I can't do this, and your boss is like, no, it's cool, and you're like, the rules, like, I don't know, I just, I was never sympathetic towards this character. I thought he was just a little asshole bitch the entire movie. Like, I would have fed this guy to mermaids if I was in the position of William Dafoe. Like, that's the core of this movie. Like, it is such a good movie. It's like it's truly one of those movies you don't see much any, like, that sounds so pretentious, but like a movie we don't see like a ton, which is like a art film in theaters, because we really don't. We see good films and good cinema, but just see like an actual kind of like art film, okay, you don't see much in theaters. Like, this, I would not say this is cinema. I would say it is an art film. It is like a film someone in art school would make, not a film that someone in film school would make. It's like a long version of the ones they play at like art. Like, if you go to like a modern art museum, they'll have like film exhibits, and they're like art films.
Yeah,
it really doesn't exist as a cinematic experience, in my opinion.
I don't. Yeah,
it's art. It was made just to be art, not to be cinema.
Like, it's a moving painting.
It's a moving painting.
The most pretentious way we could possibly.
It's a moving painting, and it's very good, and it was great. It is about a man who's going insane because he can't fuck. That is the central thesis of this film. Is what drives the plot forward is, one, he can't fuck, and two, he really wants to see the light. These are the only two things that drive the plot forward. The plot stops moving when he's not trying to look at the light, or when he's not thinking about how much he isn't fucking.
Well, he also has the seagull's curse.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay.
But I think he kills the seagull because he's not fucking a woman and he doesn't see the light.
Well, no, sure.
The seagull death's the MacGuffin.
Yeah, okay. So the seagull happens when he's like trying to, he loads coal in a wheelbarrow and is trying to like go to the lighthouse, and there's a seagull blocking him, you see. You watch the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a seagull blocking.
We've all
him.
Been there. Like, we're driving. There's like a goose in the road. Size check. That actress that played the mermaid hasn't been like anything else.
Really?
Yeah. I guess if you could be the lighthouse, mermaid with the fat fucking pussy, you're set for life.
So, okay.
Ukrainian.
Nice. Good for him.
Shouts out to my Eastern European peeps.
Did she just like know Robert Eggers, or like was there backstory?
I assume he stalked about Los Angeles until he saw a woman. He's like, that woman could be part fish, have a huge vagina, and be murderous. That's the vibe I'm getting from this woman.
Okay, so the seagull is blocking the door to the lighthouse. Yeah. Robert Pattinson throws a piece of coal by it, and it flies away.
Just like doesn't know how to interact with animals like at all. Like, just walk over and like nudge it away with your foot. Like, has he never dealt with a bird in his way before? Like, there's a goose in the road, you get out and it's not moving, you go like, oh, get out of here. You don't just stand there and go, move.
No,
move.
He like shook the wheelbarrow.
Nah, you gotta wave your hands and approach it. Yeah,
I agree. He also should have moved further, closer. Yeah, like,
this guy doesn't know how to do jack shit.
Also in my notes, by the way, the next line was Willem Dafoe was naked in the lighthouse and toasting the lighthouse, which is a thing, but also like the least interesting thing that I could be talking about.
Yeah,
right
I
now.
Think I mentioned like the madness that Willem Dafoe's character exhibits is so subdued compared to what Robert Pattinson's going through. And I have to stress that, like, Willem Dafoe was, like, jacking off or staring into the light, which by anyone else's metric would be, like, this person has gone completely off their rocker. But, like, next to, like, Robert Pattinson's insanity looks like, it's like, oh, he's a bit quirky.
I think, okay, do you think he went Pattinson insane and brought himself back? Or do you think he just never, ever went Pattinson insane?
I don't think he ever went Pattinson insane. I think he's mad. I think he's a bit kooky. I think he's a bit insane, but, like, a functional insanity where he's just, like, a bit wacky and nutso.
But yeah, could that be the, like, just the, I've been doing this for so many years.
Yeah, that
would, I have reached the breaking point and brought myself back.
I think he exists, like, right below the breaking point, because it is just, he's been isolated for so long. I he's never had a Pattinson breakdown.
Okay. His previous guy did.
Yeah, his previous guy did.
Which,
though, even that, from what he said this guy did, is still, to me, less than what Robert Pattinson does.
I'm sure.
He, like, folks, this entire movie, pretty much from, like, day two in universe, he is just tumbling down the slope of insanity full speed. Every time, there's a point where he's, like, waving his tongue in the rain. He becomes, like, a gibbering maniac, like, 2 weeks in. He's gibbering. He goes nuts.
He does. It's great.
He goes wacky.
You mentioned that it's very much a Daniel Day-Lewis-esque, like crazy performance.
Yeah.
But, like, completely reasonable is the wrong word. Understandable. Like it translates well. It translates as, like, this man has gone crazy and it believable.
Yeah.
It is a believable crazy.
I believe that he could go this crazy. He had to have issues coming onto this island.
Well, yeah, he committed manslaughter. Yeah, like his boss.
Yeah, he's already nuts. So he already can't go like 2 days without fucking a woman, or he will lose his beans. His beans will pour out of him, like the tides crashing into the rocks of the mighty lighthouse.
So Pattinson is like trying to do lighthouse shit. And then they have every end of every night, they have the dinner where Defoe's trying to get him to drink. And he goes on like Sailor Talk, and Pattinson.
That's my favorite podcast.
Sailor Talk.
Sailor Talk with Willem Dafoe.
Dude, I want
just
that.
Him telling crazy stories.
Should it be in character or should it be Willem Dafoe interviewing people and he just calls it Sailor Talk?
I think it's just kind of like muffled phone audio from like a Nokia. Okay. And it's just him ranting about being a sailor.
Okay.
It's never clear if he knows it's being uploaded.
Oh, I would totally listen to that.
Because we're reasonable people who'd find joy in these stories, unlike Robert Pattinson's character, who, like, every time, like, also, you're stuck on an island, you have nothing to do. This should be the highlight of your day. Is you get to sit down, eat, and listen to a man tell crazy fucking stories. That's your entertainment. It's not like you're like, oh, I could be watching TV. You don't have that.
No.
This is what people did. They told stories and shit. Like, there was this guy who, like, carried flour around in the 1800s. And he would carry flour from one town to the next, like a big sack of flour. And, like, people went crazy over it. I think it became, like, a fad for a while where people would just carry sacks of flour from, like, one town to the next. And people would fall and be like, yeah. Like, that's what people did. Roller skating rinks used to be walking rinks. This is true. You'd walk, I forget the specifics, I learned about this a while ago, but they would like walk in circles. And that was like entertainment. This is true. But then roller skates came along, so they just converted these into roller skate rinks. Like, back before we had like mass media, people were bored as shit and would do literally anything for entertainment. So like, the fact that like, he just spent his entire day doing like back-breaking, grueling labor, and it's time for like insane man sailor talk, and he's like, I don't want this, is nuts to me.
So, okay, is it nuts that he doesn't want to be involved in the sailor talk, or is it nuts that he's so opposed to it?
So opposed to it.
Okay, because if he were just quiet and shy, it wouldn't bother you?
No, no, as long as he was, like, listening to it, but he doesn't even want to listen to it.
He was kind of listening day one.
Only because his ears are open and he can't close them.
That's, okay, that actually does bring me to one of the dinner scene where Defoe is like, yo, don't fuck with the seagulls.
Yeah.
Don't mess with seabirds. It ain't a thing. Like, it ain't a thing you should do. Yeah. It's not cool, bro. And
he literally just says, hey, don't. I mean, he says you shouldn't be doing that. He doesn't, like, put down a hard rule, don't mess with the seabirds. The only hard rule he puts down is don't kill a seabird, which, like, I grew up near a lake.
Yeah.
A lot of seabirds. Uh-huh. I've seen a lot of seabirds in my life.
Uh-huh.
They've been inconveniences at points.
Uh-huh.
I've never been in a situation where I couldn't avoid killing a seabird. I've killed exactly zero seabirds in my life. At the first instance of being able to kill a seabird, this man does.
Do you know anyone who has killed a seabird?
Not like intentionally.
How'd life turn out for them?
The ones who, like, ran over one in their car?
Yeah.
They're all dead.
Exactly. Willem Dafoe is right.
They were, like, last seen on the shores of Erie and just, like, walked to the water never to be seen again.
So, so Dafoe is like, don't kill a seabird. And then
easy rule.
Pattinson is like, tall tales. And then Dafoe's like, no, don't kill a seabird, tall tales. And then he fucking just goes into this rant.
He's, like, so dismissive.
He is. And then Dafoe, like, brings it up to 11, which is like, do you not hear me, boy? I said, don't kill the seabirds, don't tempt fate.
Like, that's his belief system. It's like if someone said, I believe Jesus loves me, and you even go, like, oh, I don't believe in that, but I respect you believe. You just go, tall tales. Yeah, I'm going to my nephew's bar mitzvah. Tall tales. Okay. It's, like, so dismissive.
It is.
This guy's a fucking asshole. He deserved everything he gets.
So, not long after this, he kills a seabird.
Yeah, like, vicious. Like, also, it's hard. He had to make an effort.
Okay, so
have you tried to grab a bird before? It's tough.
So here's what. So we know what happened. We saw the movie, but let's pretend we're professionals for a second. So he's like pouring his morning water because he just cleaned the pipes. It's like it should be tasty.
I really like the phrase his morning water, and I really like the way you said it should be tasty. I'm so excited for my morning water. What a sad life. This guy's a sad sack of shit.
It should be tasty because he just cleaned the pipes, but it's not. It's bad again. And then he keeps pushing.
It's like horrid. It's gone like bad.
And then he goes sludge, like just dead sludge. He cleaned the pipes. He softened the water in the pool. So he goes to check it out, and a gull had drowned or is drowned. It's like twitching, which implies that it's a little bit alive, but it's actively dying. It's not getting out. And then one of his buddies flies down.
One of the seagull's buddies. I have to establish that. You just said one of his buddies. One of the other seagull friends.
Yes. One of the other seagull friends. Well, I assume when I said flies down.
I don't know what his friends can do.
Okay. So one of the seagull friends flies down, looks at his buddy, is like, my buddy's fucking dying. Oh, you did this.
He just goes,
I'm going to strike revenge. No, he said these words.
And he just, like, grabs the seagull by the neck, which, again, is so, it's hard to catch a bird.
And then just takes it and Hulk smashes it like Hulk does,
like,
to Loki.
Like he's beating a man with a bar of soap in his sock.
And he just doesn't relent. And by the end of it, you and I are watching, and it's like, Jesus, buddy. And I get that that's the point where he's, like, truly snapped. But, like, then also so early.
Yeah.
So early. And then, that's, like, 30 minutes into this almost two-hour movie. He is now gone full crazy. And then he killed the bird, and then the wind changed. And it's the calm before the storm. And he'd been there for 4 weeks, and it was the last day. And the next morning, he's supposed to be not rescued. exchanged for the new changing.
Yeah,
of the guard.
His contract's over.
Yes, and so the people, oh my god, what do they call them? It's
tenders.
Like, sure, the tenders are coming to get him, and yes, and then it storms, and they don't come to get him because it storms. It's a bad storm, you see.
Yeah, it's like a real bad storm.
God is mad at someone, and it's specifically Robert Pattinson.
Because he killed a seagull. Brutally, too.
Also, but before it storms, he paints the lighthouse, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, he does the whitewashing so it can, like, reflect the light, or sailors can... I don't care what sailors do. It's to help these awful men who drive their awful machines through the water.
And Pattinson is like, no one's going to see this in the storm, why are we doing this? And Defoe is, like, dropping him really quickly and pulling him up and dropping him really quickly, essentially playing games with this man on a pulley.
Yeah.
And then eventually Pattinson falls and hits the ground. And then we wake up and it's storming.
Yeah. The tender does not come.
But yeah, I really like that scene. Like, I think that's a really good, like, display of the dynamic between the two before Crazy. And, like, just, it's an excellent acting display where neither of them are crazy heightened, but, like, they're both.
Also, like, it 100% breaks because he is moving around. Because he says, quit moving around. And he's like, I'm not moving around, he says as he moves about.
Okay, but he's also trying to rebalance. He's just bad at it. It has never been on a painter's pulley before.
Ugh. Amateur.
Also, what was it you were saying earlier that, like, this was back when men were men?
Oh, yeah. He just, like, instinctually knows how to shingle.
Yeah. And you found that so attractive?
No, I mean, I just thought that back, you know, when men knew how to shingle, I think... we didn't have global warming, didn't have the war on terror, and I think there's something to be said about that.
Oh, okay. You made it sound like it was deeper than that when you brought it up.
I just said the world was a better place when men knew how to shingle.
Okay, you had another sentence. I forget what you said.
I believe anything, any two events happening at the same time are directly connected.
So you believe correlation is causation?
Yes. Yes, I do.
So you think men not knowing how to shingle caused the war on terror?
Or the fact that the war of terror exists because... I'm just saying, when people knew how to shingle, no war on terror. People don't know how to shingle, instinctually, war on terror. Gets you thinking.
People do know how to shingle. There are still
roofers out there. They're roofers. This is a man who's not a roofer, and he's like, go shingle. He goes, okay, and he just goes and does it.
Okay, fair.
Like, he just knows how to shingle. It's just like, of course I know how to shingle.
You don't, I'm sure, listen, I don't know. I don't mean to talk out of school. I am sure that I can match. Like, if the roof is, like, partially or mostly done, I could, like, figure out what the pattern is and go from there. Do I know how to shingle? No. Could I fake it? Probably.
Actually, do you know how to shingle?
Okay, cool.
Took a woodwork class once and they were teaching you how to do shingling.
So you are the change you want to see in the world.
Yeah.
You should teach people how to shingle.
I'm going to end all the wars in this world. I'm going to end the African Civil War is going on. I think there's two right now. I'm going to end the Bolivia coup. I'm going to end the violence in Haiti with Mr. Barbecue. I'm going to end the Russian conflict. I'm going to end the Gaza conflict. And I'm going to teach everyone to shingle. But that's how I'm
going to
do it.
So that's how you're going to do it.
That's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to teach everyone to shingle, and then we're not going to fight no more.
Okay. That's a good plan. You should go to UNICEF.
Shingle for peace.
Okay. Matthew Olianichek.
I'm just saying, if Mr. Big Old Putin over there shingled once or twice and learned the value of good hard work, maybe he wouldn't feel so violent all the time.
When can you run? Matthew Olianichek, 20.
Well, how old do you have to be? 32?
35.
Oh, 6 years.
Okay. So in two elections, so 2032.
Yeah, 2032.
Matthew Oleanichek, 2032.
get to shingling again.
Make American shinglers again.
Make America shingle again.
So where were we?
I mean, we're like the third into the movie. It's really hard to pin down where we are.
Oh, the storm. The storm happens.
Yeah.
The storm happens and it's the beginning of the end. Also, okay. So I love the pacing of this movie generally. The first 20 minutes and the last 20 minutes go by so quickly.
Yeah.
And then that middle hour.
Even that, like, it's well paced.
It's well paced. It's just so. It like ebbs and flows. It's almost like it's a lot of
It's a lot of drinking men singing and a lot of wet dreams about mermaids.
I don't think there are any wet dreams. I just think he's jacking off. I don't think he wakes up after having come. I think he masturbates to the mermaid or to the light.
I think he's waking up having come and immediately starts jacking and trying to preserve the memory of that sexy mermaid, which reminds him of the fact that there are women out there. Oh God, it's been 2 weeks. He hasn't seen one. What's he going to do?
Okay. So.
Were there photographs? He could have just brought like a photograph. Were there photographs at this point?
Probably.
Has the Civil War happened yet?
It's 1930s.
Oh, yeah, it's 1930s?
I think that's what the synopsis said. You vamp for a second.
It's 1930s, and this man can't find a way to not go insane? Like, he can't just, like, just bring a picture. I think we had pinups at that time. It's like, what? It's past the 20s. This guy lives in a world with flappers, and he's like, Jesus Christ, I'm an old-timey sailor man who needs to fuck a whore in every port, or I'm going to kill everyone around me.
1890s, according to Wikipedia.
Okay, so the Civil War happened.
I forget where I read 1930s.
There's still photographs.
I thought it was Depression. It is not. I apologize. It's turn of the century. My bad. I'm a fraud.
It's amazing that the Civil War happened in this universe, considering all those men spent weeks away from women they could fuck. You think they'd all just go mad, gibbering messes, or run into the woods?
It's just a New England lighthouse, dude. It's just fucking. It's great. Okay. This movie's great.
Fucking New England, dude. They're fucking freaks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Bad drivers too.
Okay.
Have you been to Maryland?
I've been to Boston.
Oh, they do not know how to drive in the state of Maryland.
Oh, really? I have not been to Maryland.
I shit you not. I was in a parking lot eating a sailor's dot. I wasn't in the parking lot. I was in like a shopping center, which is, you know, it's the big parking lot, like buildings with stores in them. I was eating at this seafood place. I was having delicious. It was beginning of my personal lighthouse madness. Which I'll tell after this. We can just put it. We can even leave it there. We can just put it where it seems like it makes sense. But I saw like two car accidents while I was eating in the parking lot. And if this was because at one point, the one point I emphasize with this character, and this is later on, but like it's the middle part of the movie. We can talk about it in any order because the order doesn't really matter much. But he says, "God, I want a fucking steak," and I shit you not, I had that moment. I was in Maryland in like DC for like, I think it was like 4 days, 5 days.
Okay. What for?
If we were just visiting DC as vacation.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool.
It was like right after COVID, so a lot was closed. But like, we ate crab for like every meal.
Uh-huh.
I like crab. I'm not like a huge crab guy. I like crab. I tend to prefer like just fish. That's my favorite type of seafood. It's like a fish more than like crustacean. But like we ate like crab for like every meal. It'd be like, oh, crab with crab cakes and crab chowder. And like the last day we were there, they're like, where do we want to eat? And they mentioned a seafood place we had been to before. And I did like scream like, no, we're going to a fucking steakhouse. We're going to a fucking steakhouse or I'm jumping out of this car.
So did you threaten to fuck the steak?
No, that's because although I need to eat steak like this man does, I could probably go like 5 years without fucking a woman and not fuck a steak.
So, okay. Okay. That's good for you.
I could go the amount of... I could 100% not fuck a woman as long as this man did. Not fuck a woman and be perfectly mentally sound.
Do you... Okay. So do you think that this is just what zero pussy does to a motherfucker? Is that like...
I think if you're a weak... A weak-willed sailor from New England, yes. I think New England sailors are a weak-willed lot. They've succumbed to the lure of that cursed boat, of which I hate so dearly.
Okay.
Because it's all this, you get all wet and
sure,
stuff.
Sure.
You suck, dude. I hate boats. I just like really do not like boats.
Are you going to finish that thought?
that's where it stopped naturally.
You were okay.
I just think that
you were just like, I think.
Well, you also hear sailors. About sailors, like they're all obsessed with fucking. Like my grandpa was like a sailor in the Navy, right? And when he was stationed in Cuba, like he just like was just fucking like Cuban whores all the time. I want to clarify, whores isn't sexual workers. I'm not calling Cuban women whores. Like he was just fucking sex workers in Cuba, like all the time. That's all he did. I don't know what it is about, like, because you don't have this in the Army. Like, yeah, they definitely do shit. But, like the Navy, like, people on boats, and we see this in, like, so many different fictions, are, like, obsessed with pussy. What is it about being on the ocean that makes a man obsessed with pussy?
I don't know. Robert Pattinson definitely is somewhat... Okay. So much happens in this movie. Nothing happens in this movie. Do you want to talk about the mermaid?
I really want to talk about the mermaid.
Go for it.
She has great eyebrows. Apparently Ukrainian. Which I thought was fun.
Okay, and? Okay, so...
That was it. No, I like that, like...
Huge.
Like, I love the character design. Okay. Which I'm going to call it, costume design. But, like, it's a fun, really fun, good take on a mermaid where they didn't, like, do the thing where a lot of people are like, we're going to make it grotesque. It is your classic mermaid. But a lot of times when a director is doing a realistic take on a mermaid and like, they're seducing people, you always wonder, like, where... How do they fuck this mermaid? Because, you know, traditionally the mermaid just got, like... is just, like, half fish, right? But this guy... This absolute firecracker of director.
David Eggers.
Is like, I'm going to slap the biggest vagina straight on her tum-tum.
Okay, so...
It's like the size of her fucking head.
Is this when he, quote-unquote, finds her drowning? Or is... Is this the second time when he's like weird jacking off and like sees the...
I'm talking about the time when he like runs and... Oh, because I guess he's jacking off about that. Because he imagines that he finds her and runs into the lighthouse.
And, like, clears out the seaweed.
Yeah, and then later he imagines fucking her. And she has, like, I could stick my head in there. But I like it, because truly, it's, like, weird. It's weird. I think it's supposed to be weird. It is, like, this weird, like, this guy super needs to fuck. And so the vagina is so huge because that's how it looms in his mind. It's got to be intentional. It's that big. And I can't put into words why it works, but it works so well. It's like almost reducing her to nothing more than a pretty face with wonderful eyebrows, some tits, and a big-ass honking vagina.
But, okay, so this is during the, like,
this is where he, like, screams.
The other masturbation scene.
Yeah, where he, like, screams after he comes.
Okay. So, during
another thing I've never done is not fucked a woman so hard that I've started hollering at the top of my lungs like I was Tarzan after jacking off while clutching a figurine of a woman. I've never done this, and I imagine I never will.
Okay. So, this is the second time we see him jacking
off. I lost track of how many times he jacked off.
Okay.
You decide what I'm talking about, and I'm going to assume you're right. Like, so he jacks off. So much jacking off occurs in this movie.
Willem Dafoe jacks off in the lighthouse, and, like, his splooge goes through the gates.
Yeah, which now places this movie above The Green Knight as the movie, I'll say, it's the most splooge I've ever seen in a movie.
That wasn't even that much.
What do you mean? That was a lot of splooge, dude.
Okay. I mean, in fantasy movie terms, that can't be that much. I've never kept track of how much splooge I've ever seen in a movie.
You don't see, like, I'm gonna let you know a little secret here. In most movies, you don't see, like that was like the drool of a dragon. It was like dripping down in a way splooge normally doesn't. That was like half a cup of splooge, my dude.
Okay, I think, okay, true.
Was like the spit dripping out of the alien queen's mouth as like Ripley hides.
Okay, I think it's because I know that it's fake that like I don't have.
Oh yeah, it's fake. it's a movie.
Listen, motherfucker. I think it's because I know that it's fake, that I don't have the real world equivalent in my head to like match it up to.
If I saw a porno where a man produced that much splooge, I'm not saying I'd freak out, but I would make a mental note of that's a lot of splooge.
And, okay, I don't watch porn. Porn creeps me out. So, like, I can't tell you. I don't know. Anyway. So.
Sorry, I'm just imagining. I'm just imagining you're like looking at a porn video and it's just like a porn star turns to look at the camera and you go like, oh.
Okay, it's not.
Oh, guys.
It's not that bad. It's the weird dichotomy of like what is actual honesty and
that's
like,
why, see, I understand that. I love like amateur couple porn,
yeah,
because you
okay.
feel like there's actual emotion.
I have been
there.
Told that I would enjoy that more.
Yeah.
But then
this is a weird thing to be talking about, but I'm glad we're keeping this in because I'm going on record as saying that like mainstream porn, I don't understand the appeal of.
I agree 1,000%. I have been told amateur porn.
Unless
is
they're
better.
Making it funny. Occasionally they make it a little funny.
Sure.
They're kind of like playing with the fact like this is a ridiculous situation we're in.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I just don't.
But then this, I don't know, my film school brain kicks in. And like, I've seen porn. I'm an adult. I don't watch it. It's not
yeah,
my
no,
thing.
Just, my film
but
school.
But my film school brain kicks in.
Every time I see fucking like a blacked video, I scream. This is the only time I scream about jacking off. I'm screaming about the lighting and how it is doing neither the white woman nor the black man any favors.
Also,
he's like this harsh, bright lighting on him. So the woman's like, is just fucking like white because it's just reflecting off her pale skin. Like she is just like a lighthouse. And that's just not the color of lighting you should use with, like, that kind of, like, African-American skin. It's just not, I mean, it's not good for anyone. That's just terrible lighting.
But then fucking amateurs, like, filmed in a 15-year-old DSLR at yeah. a Dutch angle in the back of the bedroom.
It looks so much better. It looks so much better.
I have more than once watched a video and actively thought to myself, you would never see that in a real movie. Like,
yeah.
That angle or that cut. Or that, like, that creative decision is not a thing that I...
What's up with, like, all the fucking ball slapping shots, too?
Okay, can we get
like,
off?
That's such a bad shot. This is a podcast for straight men. It doesn't exist in podcasting. You won't hear this in all these other podcasts where they talk about lesbians, lesbian porn. I mean, it's the same talk. It's just not lesbian porn. In this one, we're talking about straight.
Okay, anyway.
This is so fucking stupid. This movie has driven us to madness. We watched like an hour and a half of men just like drinking and being horny.
And I can't drink anymore. So I was going to suggest that we do this podcast episode drunk, but I can't.
It would be the same. It would be like, this is such a good movie. And I think if I went and saw it in a theater then got dinner afterwards, I'd be in a better mental state. But immediately having to go to talk about a movie which is like 50% gibbering madness and the other 50% is mermaids drinking and like jacking off. It's a movie that defies analysis.
I went to Evergreen Garden, actually, the
Chinese
buffet.
Yeah, no, I love that place.
Yeah, fucking rules, dude.
It's really good.
Yeah, no, I went to Evergreen Garden like as soon as we watched that movie. I don't remember who picked it or if I picked it, but I picked it.
This is like a vibes movie.
Yeah.
Which we have struggled with before. I forget what the movie was.
Summer Wars is a little bit of a vibes movie, but that was, we more struggled because, well, I don't know. I actually think that episode's going to be fine.
Time Bandits?
Time Bandits, we struggled because it was too long.
There's definitely a movie we watched where we're like, this is mostly vibes and it's hard to talk about.
Probably.
Because, like, the plot of this movie is man gets dropped out of an island, not fucking, goes crazy, wants to see light, sees light, dies.
Yeah, okay.
Like, when you watch it, it is a moving painting situation where, like, if you watch it, it's a great. But if someone described this movie to me, I would assume they'd been trapped on an island for several months.
Have you seen any of his other movies? The Vavitch or... I know it's The Witch, but if you're going to...
No, I wasn't going to say anything about it.
The Witch or The Northman?
No, I want to see The Northman.
Okay.
You can bring somebody on who's seen it.
I've not seen The Northman. Yeah, truly get one of your friends, or I'll get one of my friends.
I'll hold a gun to one of their heads. Watch the movie, then be a guest.
Or have any of them just seen it?
No, maybe. I haven't seen The Witch because I'm actually not big of that big of a like a horror fan.
That's fair. No, that's fair. I didn't get into horror.
I don't like psychological horror. I like a good schlocky film.
I love a good schlocky film. Is it called elevated horror?
Yeah.
That's okay. It's such a
I like it.
Name.
I like that it exists. It's just not my jam.
Sure.
It is one of the few bastions of consistently good cinema left.
That's just not your thing?
It's just not my thing. Though I am, fingers crossed, praying we start getting like a new wave of movies. Because we've gone through so many waves of movies. We had like the vampire movies, zombie movies. We've been stuck on fucking superhero movies for like 20 fucking years. I want to see the next wave of weird shit already.
Yeah, can I tell you what I think it's going to be?
Yeah.
Is I think it's going to be not remaking literally, but tonally remaking early 2000s movies.
Okay,
in the same way that like the 80s remade the 50s and the 90s remade the 70s, I think the 2020s and early 2030s
we're gonna get like Scott Pilgrim, but he's clearly the bad guy, so that all the men understand this time.
Yes, but like School of Rock and Orange County and like Shaun of the Dead, like that kind of like I think we're gonna get more of that shit.
Yeah, I'd be up for that.
Or we already are a little bit seeing it that we're living in another like another big boost of a golden age of animation. That like
yeah, we're getting a lot of animation, a lot of like I feel like disaster, like political disaster movies.
Well, yeah, that's yeah. I don't want to get into
that. I'm trying to think what's out right now. Look, there's like Civil War. There's Twister. That's Twisters. Sorry, that's a disaster movie.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. This is riveting content.
You're experiencing what it's like to be in a lighthouse right now. we've decided to move away from our usual breaking it down standpoint, and we're doing kind of like performance art where you're in the lighthouse.
We don't mean to do this. I just every time we watch like a movie, we end up like adapting that movie into the. I want the listeners to know that this is not on purpose. That we're just
he's
that
looking
good.
At me so intently.
We're that good. We're just fucking. We're geniuses. No, well, I don't know.
No, I am at least. If he's not going to cop to it, I will.
Okay, we should get a little bit into the. How long have we been recording? 1:10 Okay,
we can go into the ending.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we accurately captured the vibe of the middle part of the movie, which is meandering nonsense and some horny talk. Okay. So we're ready to talk about the end.
Let's talk about my favorite scene in the movie, and then we'll get to the ending. Okay. Yeah. So my favorite scene of the movie is the big drunken spiral ending in the wave coming in.
Yeah.
Where, like
yeah.
Pattinson has just fully accepted. That we've run out of booze rations. We now have these other ones. We're just going to get.
They're drinking like kerosene oil.
Obliterated.
Which is fun because if you put a little bit of gasoline in milk, you can drink that. It gets you drunk.
Nice. That's good to know. So they're just, again, they're getting obliterated. They're dancing. They're bros being bros. They're saying like one word sentences to each other and pushing each other. They're awkward slow dancing. It's just really like debauchery, but also like male bonding, but also like just what it feels like to be that obliterated. And then, so they're having a mini argument, and Pattinson is like, tells Defoe that I don't like your cooking. And
gets like really offended. Over.
Well, first he gets hurt emotionally. Yeah. He's like, no, you like my lobster, right? You like my lobster.
I seen you finding my lobster. That's what he says.
And Pattinson's like, essentially, no. And then Defoe snaps, goes so crazy, and places.
Also, again, just kind of being a dick. Just be like, you know, yeah, do you like the food?
Okay, he places Neptune's curse.
Yeah, he's so offended this man doesn't like his lobster. He calls upon the power of Neptune to cast this man into nautical hell.
Oh, let Neptune strike ye dead, hark Triton.
Yeah.
Which it's so cool that he was able to just come up with that speech off the
top. Yeah, that's just what William Defoe does when you don't like his cooking. He was legitimately hurt.
And it's silent for a couple seconds, and then Pattinson just goes like, fine, I like your cooking.
Yeah, he's like, you know what, never mind, I like your cooking.
Just like...
and not like in a dismissive way. He's just like, yeah, but I like your cooking.
Yeah, I like your cooking. Like, it's so... That scene is... I love that scene a lot. It's my favorite scene in the movie.
I just think it's very rude to be like that when this man's been doing all the cooking. Like, you haven't... Like, you're not splitting the cooking, and this man just cooks for you? I'd be thrilled. I hate cooking. If someone just made me food each night, that could be kind of bad. I'd still be glad that I'm eating it.
That's fair. I work 80-plus hours a week. If I can't put it in a crock pot, and it's too much effort, that's where I'm at with cooking.
I'm on a hungry man diet currently.
That sounds great.
It's made me strong.
It has?
It's made me so strong, dude.
Hell yeah. I need to get back to the gym. Anyway, I love this scene. It's purely, I don't know. Have you ever been that drunk before?
I mean, I haven't gotten to... I'm feeling like our experiences with being that drunk are different.
What is your experience with being that drunk?
One time I was very drunk at a house party.
Sure.
And... a mutual friend of ours told me to go get his Triscuits from his apartment. So I stumbled about a mile back to the apartment, and his roommate was making mac and cheese. And I got so excited about there being mac and cheese, I ate three bowls of mac and cheese, and then I stood up and shouted, "Fuck the Triscuits!" And I grabbed the Triscuits and walked another mile back, and I think I ate half of them on the way, and then I gave him his Triscuits.
How long were you on this trip?
Like 3 hours.
Fuck yeah. So he hypothetically could have been sober by the time he arrived.
Luckily he wasn't. He was happy to have his Triscuits. I was just sitting there happily, contently eating bowl after bowl of mac and cheese.
But So you've never been like angry, drunken, spiral speech drunk?
No, I don't think I could. I, at least to my knowledge, I don't think I've ever been angry drunk. If the drunker I get, the better mood I'm in.
That's fair. I've never been angry speech drunk. I have been impassioned speech drunk.
Yeah, I've been loud. I get passionate, but mostly it's about telling people I love them or how much I want to eat some pizza right now. And I'm like, we're getting fucking pizza. I want pizza. And I'm not like yelling at him. I'm not demanding pizza. I'm just letting him know that that's what I'm doing. I'm just very excited about the fact that I'm going to eat shitty guy's pizza in the middle of the street in downtown Kent.
Hell yeah. Dude, I don't get angry drunk. I've never been that angry drunk. I have been that impassioned drunk. I don't remember what my rants are, but they're explained to me the next day. At one point, I was ranting about my brother being born because 9/11. And
what?
My brother was born because 9/11 happened.
Okay, you just said that. I was asking you to repeat it. What?
I don't remember. But
your parents watched the towers fall and they're like, oh, fuck, I'm Randy.
Okay, so My brother was born July of 2000. Actually, my brother celebrates his 22nd birthday in like two, three days. Whenever the 2nd of July, okay, when we're recording. So he would have been conceived in mid or late September of 2001.
So the towers made your parents horny.
It's a thing that happens. Actually, like, I have tons of friends my age who have little siblings my brother's age. It's just a thing that happens. But like, I went on this like drunken tirade and like... I don't even, and then one of my other friends apparently was just as drunk with me, and he was ranting about how his brother had a different childhood than him because 9/11.
I like to wrestle when I'm drunk.
I only get fighty whiskey drunk. Like,
I'm not even fighty. I just reach this point where I'm like, I can beat anyone in a wrestling match. And okay, it's just sheer skill. The twig boy, will beat you in wrestling. And I attempt to arm wrestle or just actually wrestle pretty much everyone.
I have seen this, actually. Yeah. You don't win.
But... I win sometimes.
Sure.
I've won more than I haven't.
Sure.
I beat like everyone in my last workplace in arm wrestling, and everyone's getting really upset because some of them were like, go to the gym every day. And only one person realized it's because like my arms are like longer than theirs.
Uh-huh.
And if you have a big enough lever, you can move the world. And I'm just using physics.
Nice. So I don't know where this was going. Anyway, so they're drunken, spiral arguing, and they're like asleep on the floor or like fighting on the floor. And then the storm wave crashes through the window and floods everyone, and then it's the next morning, and they're hungover, and Pattinson is pissing and puking in the just in the sea, like the sea is in the kitchen,
the lake,
the ocean.
Well, no, now it's surrounded by land, so it's a lake.
Okay, sure,
yeah, it's a saltwater lake.
Okay, anyway, then he finds the book. The like captain's log that's it's floating around, and he's reading the captain's log, and it says that he's been a bad employee, and Willem Dafoe suggests severance without pay, and Pattinson is like hella angry at that, and then they fight. He beats the living snot out of the dude, makes him bark like a dog.
Yeah, well, also, like, as he's beating him, he becomes Neptune, and then a squid chokes him.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, like, first, it's like he sees the dead first. It's revealed drunkenly that the old dead first mate killed himself, essentially. Is that what
I thought he was seeing the guy that he...
Is it the guy he killed? I thought it was the dead second.
I think we just merely touched on it, but he did like watch a guy, his boss that he hated previously when he was working logging up in Canada.
He drunkenly admits, yeah.
Yeah, he he fell. He's like, help me, and he just watched him die because he's crazy from the get-go.
I agree. I thought because it was the island, he was watching the dead second mate because the mermaid doesn't exist. And so it would also make sense that this guy haunts him.
I think the mermaid does exist.
Okay. But so he's beating the snot out of Dafoe, but like he like sees the boss or old first mate and then sees the sexy mermaid. And then Dafoe turns into Triton and is like choking him with his octopi arms. And then he just like keeps punching and doesn't stop punching. And then
just starts treating him like a dog. Like not even like in a vicious way. He just 100% commits to the bit that this is now his dog.
It's essentially the whole time Dafoe has been calling him a dog. And so it's essentially him asserting I am now the master, you are now the dog. But before the fight, he confronts Dafoe, is like, I've been a good worker, but I'm gonna let all this go if you can let me see the light. Please let me see the light. And he like begs, and Dafoe says no, and so they fight.
It's just a lie.
But we later find out it isn't.
No, I think we find out later that in fact it is just a lie.
No, it isn't. Otherwise, Dafoe wouldn't be jerking it to the light, and Pattinson wouldn't be crazy and killing himself for the light.
I think they just went mad. I think William Dafoe jacks off to the light because he just lives in the island all the time, so he's just like developed a weird codependent relationship with an inanimate object. It happens. And I think that Robert Pattinson is crazy from the get-go.
So he brings Willem Dafoe on a leash outside, just bringing his kink into public.
Yeah.
And it really bothered me. I know that that's the point, but keep your kinks private, please.
Nah, take your kinks wherever you want them. Don't listen to Harrison, prude.
Don't keep your kink. I didn't consent to see or witness or be a part of your kink. So, like, don't make me a part of your kink.
I worked at a medieval fair where there was these two women in chainmail bikinis that walk a guy around on a leash all day. Uh-huh. And we'd always tell newscast members, don't let them put the leash on you, because you will not be able to get it off until they unlock it.
What?
Yeah, if they put the leash on you, it has a lock, so you can't get it off until they let you go.
Okay.
And they will try to put the leash on you. Rennies are insane, dude.
Can you just say no thank you? Or do you have to
fight Yeah, them? You can say no thank you, but we have to let them know you have to say no thank you, or you are not getting that leash off for a while.
Okay. So he takes Willem Dafoe outside on a leash.
There's like kids at this place. It's a good place. A lot of families go there.
Don't bring your kink around kids.
And there's just these chainmail bikini ladies walking around a half-naked man.
How is this a thing? Don't bring your kink around kids.
It's the Rennies, dude.
Anyway, so he's bringing Willem Dafoe outside.
Buries him.
Buries him alive. Throws him, like, tosses him in a hole. And then just starts burying the dude alive. Dafoe is putting a pirate's curse on him.
Yeah.
And then, like, passes out of...
dirt.
Lack of oxygen. Yeah, like chokes on the dirt or like...
I think it does get that much dirt on you. You die. Also, he was just like nearly beat to death.
He might have just passed out. And then Pattinson freaks out, goes in, and we think he's going to like have a remorse thing.
I hate this man.
I agree. But like, it's like you think he's going to fool the audience, but he doesn't. He just steals Willem Dafoe's keys. And then goes to the lighthouse, goes to the gate, and is like, nah, actually, I need a smoke first. And so he goes back to the house to light up...
he always smokes after murdering.
To light up his pipe. Or no, light up the cigarette. Dafoe smokes a pipe. Yeah. But lights up the cigarette and carries the kerosene. But Dafoe, from behind... we're jumping around a little bit. Earlier in the beginning of the drunken scene... Pattinson tries to escape with the lifeboat. Dafoe takes the axe and breaks the lifeboat and then gaslights Pattinson into thinking.
See, I subscribe to the school that we're seeing it through Patterson's view and that we can't trust anything.
Okay.
I'm not sure Willem Dafoe chased him with an axe.
Okay. Well, in the movie, he chases him with an axe and then gaslights Pattinson into like... thinking
well, he tells him that he did it. I'm like, I don't think we should scrub any gas. I think that perhaps Patterson just thought that Willem Dafoe was chasing him.
Okay. Also,
I'm subscribing to the school that although he's a bit insane, relatively, I think from start to finish, Willem Dafoe is sane.
Okay, so we jump forward now. Pattinson is smoking a cig, and Dafoe comes and just fucking chops at the shoulder with an axe, and Pattinson takes the kerosene...
the can?
I guess, but it's like...
Like a gas can?
Yes, but like there's a term for it. Anyway, he takes the kerosene...
Call it a can!
Sure, but like you water plants with it, pot, but not teapot, but like
a watering can.
It's not, there's a term for it anyway, not the point. He takes the kerosene can and just boinks Willem Dafoe with it, and then takes the axe and just chops
you
his love skull.
You were laughing. He loved all that blood.
I did not, I chuckled a little bit because it made a noise I wasn't expecting it to make. I did not. It made a noise I wasn't expecting it to make, and it made me chuckle. But
Harrison loves the squelching of a human skull.
No.
Yeah, just like that.
So what happened? What? So then Pattinson quotes the old sailor's toast from the beginning, and then goes, unlocks, sees the light, goes absolutely mad. It's like ecstasy.
Puts his hand into it,
and like. Yeah, it's like he goes crazy. He's screaming mad. He's laughing. He's like terrified.
Well, also because I think he's burning.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he like leans fast. He leans back and like the light pushes him. And he falls down the ladder, breaks his knees, just fucking slapstick falls down.
Yeah,
the,
this movie's a comedy.
Slapstick falls down the lighthouse stairs in the spiral. And then cut to black. And then, it was a black. Yes. Did I write that? Anyway, cut to black, I think. It may have been fade to white, but it's cut to black. And then we fade back in, and Pattinson is being eaten alive by the seagulls.
Yep.
And then it zooms out and becomes more and more fuzzy in the New England sea. And then black, roll credits. That was the lighthouse. I swear we forgot things. I know we did. But also, did we?
Nah. No, I subscribe to the view of this movie that nothing supernatural happens and we're just watching it from Patterson's point of view.
I subscribe to the view that Pattinson just walked in with a documentary crew to Willem Dafoe's house and Willem Dafoe's just like that.
No, great movie.
I loved this movie, like, a lot. Like, I liked it the first time I saw it, but I was in a phase of life where, like, I didn't hate art films, but, like, it was one of those, like, tell a fucking story. But now I've matured as an artist, yeah. And I'm like, nah, sometimes moving paintings are
you
just
realize
fun
that
to watch.
You don't really need a story to make a film. Sure. Which I've always... None of my things have ever actually had a story.
I know. I've shot so many of them. But nah, I dig it. I like this movie a lot. It's just dudes being dudes.
Mermaids being mermaids. Seagulls being seagulls.
Yeah. I think my original Letterboxd review was Gas Lighthouse Gatekeeper Goal Boss, which is a great joke, and you should find that review and like it. But listen, I so rarely think any of my joke reviews are like worth it. That one made me laugh. That one, like, truly, listen, you don't have to like it. I'll forgive you if you don't. But like, that one made me laugh. It's not even that good. I just think it deserved more than zero likes.
I didn't know you could like things in Letterboxd.
Yeah, you can like reviews. Yeah. But no, I like this movie. It rules. I like the Vavitch. It's good. The ending bothers me a lot. This movie has a much better ending. I have not seen The Northman. I'm excited to watch that eventually. And also, you and I should go see Nosferatu in theaters.
Yeah, yeah. I have a friend. We can go. I have a few friends who want to go. We can do a big outing.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
To go see Nosferatu with Willem Dafoe once again, just living his daily life with a camera put upon him.
Hell yeah. What are your final thoughts?
Great movie.
Sure.
Vibes. Great vibe. Art house movie. And I think we need to stop persecuting mermaids as monsters who just fuck to kill. They deserve love, too.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
I knew. Okay. What? I didn't know mermaids were that persecuted.
Yeah, dude. They're fucking the most persecuted minority in America.
Okay.
You can follow. I share a lot of stories about the plight of mermaids from a lot of like mermaid advocacy groups. You can find that on Instagram under Midwest_magician. You can also go to Two Men Movie Podcast at Instagram, where I'm sure I'll hijack and stop posting actual relevant content to the podcast and start posting links to fundraisers to help the plight of mermaid Americans. And you can email me in your ideas for charity organizations for the aquatically inclined at twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. Where can they find your non-woke takes?
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Letterboxd.
Oh, you're putting in a TikTok now?
I put my TikTok from the beginning.
Did you?
I occasionally will post stand-up clips or like weird writing shit. I'm really trying to quit my day job, guys.
Oh, God. I'm going to sound so old.
But you can follow me under harrisonpool.com. That's P-O-O-L-E, pool, harrisonpool.com. Thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for our theme song. Thank you to y'all for listening. What movie are we watching next week?
Secondhand Lions.
Oh yeah, it'll be available on. Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say starting tomorrow, it's going to be available on Tubi if you want to watch along. All right.
Well, like watch before or after. You can't actually. These do not sync up. You cannot watch a lot. We do not have commentary.
No, you know what I meant.
Anyway. Well, the viewer now, you don't know. They might be.
The original idea for this was commentary.
Yeah.
And then you decided you can't watch a movie and not eat food.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, I'm a snacker. I'm a snacker, and that's okay.
That is. All right. I'm going to stop this. I've been Harrison Poole. Thank you so much for listening.
And I've been Matthew Olenchek. And I love each of you. This is me giving you a little kiss right on your nose.
I'm not going to kiss you.
Give them a kiss, Harrison.
No, but thank you for listening.
These are from Harrison.
All right. Goodbye. I love you, Matthew.
Bye.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.